For our passage this morning, I want to read from Matthew chapter 19. This is at the close of the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler. A young man who had many possessions came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus speaks about his need to follow the commandments of God, and the man says, "I've done all of these from a very young age." And Jesus said, "Okay then, well, one thing do you still need to do? Take everything that you have, sell it, and give to the poor, and then come and follow me." And he went away very sad because he was very rich. Our passage for this morning is going to come from the next few verses, starting at Matthew 19, starting at verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning trusting Jesus' words that with you, all things are possible. The things that naturally, regularly occur in the world around us, and those things that happen outside and above and against the laws of the ways that things go naturally. We confess that we are much like the rich young ruler, eager to follow you, but only if it doesn't cost us too much. So we pray, Holy Spirit, do among us this morning what is possible only with God. Open up our hearts to your truth. Open our minds to what your word says. Teach us and help us to receive, and to receive and believe, whatever the cost. To hear you speak, to trust and follow. Even if it means giving up on other things we have always believed. Even if it means giving up our treasures. Even if it means giving up the things that we always thought were non-negotiables in our lives. Help us to see you as the greatest good. Work among us this morning to this end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking for the last few weeks about some of the basic truths about what we believe as Christians and a little bit in particular as Presbyterians. Okay, we started talking about the Bible and about how we find truth there, that it is God's self-attested word to us, that when we go and we read it and we understand it rightly, that we hear him speaking, that it is the one place that we know that we will hear God speaking to us, and it is the one place we can go where we will know that we will hear the truth, absent manipulation, absent someone else just trying to get us onto their agenda, trying to get them to do whatever they want us to do. We will hear God speaking truthfully. We talked about God and His sovereignty, about how God ordains whatsoever comes to pass, that this world is His and He orders and guides its events. That all of human history, in fact, all of the history of the universe, falls within His will. That He's surprised by nothing. We talked about His work of creation, about how He made the world and all that is in it by the word of His power, things visible and invisible, including that He made us, and that He made us in order to be His image bearers in His world, but that that's gone incredibly poorly. We've sinned and we've forsaken the reason for which God made us. But that when we put our faith in Jesus, He gives us the Holy Spirit so that He is remaking us in the image of His Son, restoring the image of God within us. This morning, we're going to talk about God's providence. The passage that we read probably seems like a strange passage to read when we're going to talk about God's providence. But that statement that Jesus makes at the end is a fascinating one and tells us an awful lot about the way that God operates in the world. See, there's this problem that comes up when they start talking about the rich young ruler and about how difficult it is for, particularly for the wealthy, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because what Jesus says to his disciples goes against everything that they have assumed. It goes against a lot of the assumptions that were made in Israelite society about the wealthy. The thinking went, if you're wealthy, then God has blessed you greatly, which means God must be pleased with you. And so, if anyone is well-favored by God, if anyone is close to the kingdom of God, it must be the wealthy. And so when Jesus says, it is especially difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples are astonished and they say, then how can anyone be saved? They get the implication. How can any of us be saved? And Jesus says, this with man is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There is the way that things naturally go. According to the way that the world runs on a day-by-day basis, according to the laws that God has built into His creation, there is the way that things naturally go. And God provides through those things. Those things fall out according to God's will. And then there are the things that happen outside of the ordinary, outside of what happens naturally. What we might call miracles or the supernatural, things that are extraordinary. These things are only possible with God. And Jesus says, when anyone believes, that falls into the category of the extraordinary. It's a miracle, it's supernatural. There are things that just happen naturally in the world around us, and then there are things that don't just happen all the time, and yet sometimes God steps in and acts Himself immediately in history and makes things happen that don't otherwise happen. This is a constant refrain throughout the Scriptures. Genesis 18, in the promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child in their old age, the question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Job 42. Job speaks and says, I know that you, God, can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God speaks in Jeremiah chapter 32 and says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is on the boat, caught in the middle of a storm with his disciples, and he speaks, and the storm ceases. And his disciples say, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" What we're going to be saying this morning is going to be building on a few of the things that we've been saying over the last few weeks. God is sovereign over all things. He has ordained whatsoever comes to pass. Nothing in history catches him by surprise. All things happen according to his will. Everything happens according to his decree. And his decrees are executed in the world around us, in his creation, in his work of creation, and in his providence. We're going to talk about providence this morning. Last week we talked about creation. This week we'll talk about providence, about God providing for you and me in the way that the world works around us, in the way that things happen naturally, and in things that happen supernaturally. Both of them and all of them happen according to his will and according to his power. Okay? So let's start with the truth that God cares for you through his ordinary providence. We read about this earlier in the service this morning. We said from our confession that in his ordinary providence, God makes use of means. And that's sort of an old-fashioned way to say that most of the time, the way that God provides for you in this world is through the way that he's created his world to be, in the laws that he has set down in the world around you. So that when the sun comes up in the morning, you get warmth. When the plants that we've planted for food and whatnot, when they receive water and sunlight, that they grow and they blossom and they give us fruit and vegetables. That everything that happens in the world around us, the things that we think of as natural and the things that we usually don't think of God as being involved in, all happens according to his providence. Okay, so let's start there. God cares for you through his ordinary providence. In taking care of his creatures, ordinarily, God uses ordinary means. Okay, as we mentioned, the confession talks about his providence being for ordinary means, okay? It also talks about these things falling out necessarily and freely and contingently, and I want to talk about that just a little bit. Those aren't fancy theological or philosophical categories. They're just ways of describing the way that ordinary things happen in our world, okay? I mentioned a couple of them already. Things happen according to God's providence necessarily. These are the things that must happen in the world around us, okay? The things that will happen no matter what we do or no matter what we say. The sun will come up every day to give us light. The moon will rise each night. These are the necessary means by which the world receives light. God has made the world so that the sun and the moon are fixtures, that they come up every day and every night. Freely. These are the things that may or may not happen in God's ordinary providence. Now, this is where we get a little bit confused, I think, sometimes talking about God's providence. Because as Presbyterians, we like to talk about God's sovereignty so much that we don't think of us as human beings having any real choice in the way that our lives fall out. And yet, it's very clear that God has ordained it that we have choice, that some things happen freely in the world around us. Let me give you an example. We'll have a provincial election this spring, right? And after it, after all the Albertans have gone to the polls, Jason Kenney or David Kahn or Stephen Mandel or Rachel Notley will be our premier, okay? And that will happen depending on how the people of Alberta go to the polls and freely cast their ballots. No law of nature says that it will necessarily be one or the other. It will happen according to how things freely play out in the world around us, all according to God's will, all foreordained by him. When I play catch with one of my children and I throw them the ball, they might catch it, they might not. There's no law that says they must or must not. It depends on how well I throw the ball and whether they decide to stick out their glove to the right spot or just watch it go by. Okay, that's freely. That's how stuff falls out freely in the world around us. And contingently, these are the things that happen on sort of an if-then basis in God's providence. If you stub your bare toe on the leg of a table, it will hurt. And if you don't, it won't. God has made his world in such a way that stubbed toes hurt, necessarily. Likewise, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will forgive you your sins and give you eternal life. If you don't, he won't. Now, there are other divine factors at play there, but the contingency is still true. There is no salvation without repentance and faith. Okay. Now, these are the ordinary ways that God provides for you. The sun shines down, food grows out of the earth, we raise cattle, we slaughter them, and we eat them. We get fruits and vegetables from the earth and nuts and water and all the rest of it, right? You get in your car and it starts because it's been made in such a way that the fuel and air will combust inside the engine and move the pistons up and down, which will then drive the wheels so that you can get to work. And you work and you get paid, and you come home and you buy the food that you need for your family, you pay for your shelter and all the rest of it, okay? These things all happen necessarily or freely or contingently in the world around us. They all happen according to the laws of nature. It's just the way that things ordinarily run in the world around us. And it is all God's provision for you. It's his will that these be the ordinary ways that you live, that you're fed, that you're taken care of, that you receive love, all of those things. These are the ordinary ways that God provides for you. Ordinarily, God makes use of means to carry out his will in the world. He uses you, and he uses the earth, and he uses the sky. He uses your job and the hours you work, both to provide for the good of others and to provide money and food and shelter and warmth for you and your family. When you clock in for your shift, it's not just staring down the barrel of another full day. It's God providing for others and for you and your family through you. When you show up for church on Sunday and humbly receive the word read and preached and partake of the sacraments and pray along with the saints, those are the ordinary means by which God speaks his truth into your life and encourages you in your faith and communicates the good news of the gospel to you. God is in the ordinary. It's not as if there's the world functioning apart from God and then sometimes he needs to step in to do his thing. This is his world and he's made it to work this way. And it's for your good and for your provision, all according to his will. And we're going to talk about miracles in the supernatural in just a moment, the extraordinary ways that God provides. But I want us to reflect just for a moment on the truth that God is involved with the ordinary stuff that happens in your life. It's a common challenge to Christianity today that we need faith to explain the inexplicable things in the world. We need faith for the extraordinary. We need faith for the things that we don't understand yet. But the more we understand, with new discoveries in science, with the ways we understand the natural world and even the universe itself that we didn't 20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 years ago, that more and more of the world is ordinary to us now and less is extraordinary, and we only need God for the things we don't understand. So the more we understand, the less we need God. Now we know how rain and floods come. We know where earthquakes come from. We know why the sun rises and sets. So the more we know, the less we need God. But please understand, that's a way of speaking about Christianity. It's a way of speaking about the world around us that's completely out of step with what the faith has always been. We have always said that God is in the ordinary. That just because we know that rain comes from evaporation and then the formation of clouds and then they come down, falls down to the earth again, just because we know the water cycle doesn't mean that God isn't in it. Doesn't mean that he didn't ordain it to be that way. Doesn't mean that he doesn't provide for you through it. The God of the Bible has never just been a God of the gaps. He's never just been a convenient way to explain the mysterious things about the universe. All of ordinary life happens according to his will too. He made it to be that way. He's not just there for the miracles. Everything is his. Everything happens according to his will. Just because we understand how things work, just because something happens according to the laws of the universe, the laws of nature, or seems random or unimportant, doesn't mean that it's any less from him. He is in the ordinary. Most of the time, he provides for you through the ordinary. Okay. But he's also the God of the extraordinary. God cares for you through his ordinary providence, and he cares for you through his extraordinary providence. God's in the ordinary, but he's also the God of the extraordinary. He's also the God of miracles. He's also the God of the supernatural. With men, it may be impossible for the rich, or anyone for that matter, to enter the kingdom of heaven. But with God, all things are possible. God has his ordinary means of provision. We have the laws of nature. We have all the secondary causes in the world around us that bring things about. But God is free to work without, above, or against them. God is free to do what is impossible to us. God is free to do what is outside of the ordinary. Sometimes God decides to step in and work himself apart from the ordinary. These are what we call miracles. When things carry on the way they always do, we call it nature, but really it's God working through his ordinary means. When things happen that are not supposed to happen ever, we call that supernatural or a miracle. But really, it's God working outside of his ordinary means. Remember this. On the one hand, we can downplay the ordinary so that God's not in it. But on the other hand, we can get so wrapped up in the ordinary that we forget that the whole of our faith is built on the belief that things have and can and do happen outside of the ordinary. The world was spoken into existence from nothing. That doesn't regularly happen. The Red Sea parted for the Israelites fleeing Egypt, and it crashed back over the pursuing Egyptians. Seas don't work that way. A baby was conceived in a virgin's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. That has happened a total of one time. That same man spoke and calmed a storm. I don't know if you've ever been in the midst of a raging thunderstorm and told it to stop. If you've ever given that a shot, it doesn't work. Jesus turned water into wine. Much as we might like that to be an ordinary thing, it's not. He raised the dead back to life. And after his own crucifixion, having been dead for a few days, he was resurrected. And hearts that are naturally hostile to him and resistant to his lordship suddenly love him and repent of their sins and put their faith in him and want to follow him and obey him. Those are not natural things. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. These things are all outside the ordinary functioning of this world. But they happened. Some of them continue to happen. Because this world moves according to the will of God. That's the operating principle for everything. Whether it's the ordinary stuff that we depend on and assume is going to be there day in and day out, whether it's the stuff that happens according to the laws of nature, that's all according to the will of God. It's all His providence for you. And whether it's things that happen way outside the ordinary, that are inexplicable apart from God's involvement in them, it's all happening according to the will of God. Including the laws of nature and including things that happen outside of them, because all things are possible with God. And I just want to close with this thought. Given that all of this is true, we tend to pray so small. Maybe you don't. Maybe your prayers are big and full of faith. Maybe you pray for extraordinary things all the time. But my prayers tend to default towards the small. Keep my kids healthy. Comfort the people that I know who are sick, injured, or sad. Let my kids go to sleep on time tonight. Help me with patience and self-control and kindness. Those are good prayers. I'm not telling you to stop them. Keep praying those. There is not a single thing wrong with those prayers. Those are prayers for the ordinary, and God is in the ordinary. That's His domain, and all the ordinary things fall out according to His will, too. But do we ever pray as if we believe He's capable of the extraordinary? Do you ever pray for the conversion of the most hard-hearted antagonist atheist that you know? Do you ever pray for a huge movement of the Spirit to bring many, many people to Christ? Or that He'll provide money for a worthwhile project where there's no earthly way it should come together? Now, some of you remember a couple years ago, Dan McDonald, the pastor of Grace Toronto Church, was here and he spoke at our church retreat a couple years ago. And he told a story about the early days that he was involved with Grace Toronto Church. And if you were there that weekend and you have a really good memory, you might remember this story. But if not, I'm going to tell it. He was telling a story about the early days of Grace Toronto Church when they were looking for a building, a new home for their church. And they were looking and looking. They couldn't find things that worked for them. And then this place came on the market that wasn't a sort of traditional space, but it was in a good location and it would fit their needs. The only problem was there was no way they could afford it. So Dan told their atheist real estate agent that it didn't look like it was going to happen. And his realtor said, "Don't you guys believe in a God that like made the whole world out of nothing in 6 days? Couldn't He do this too?" Now maybe he was just angling for a commission. But he got it. And sometimes we don't. We believe in a God with whom all things are possible. A God who is in the ordinary and who is capable of and does the extraordinary. Miracles, the supernatural. That doesn't mean He'll always do things the way that you want Him to. It doesn't mean if you pray for big things that He'll necessarily give you exactly what you're asking for. But we're missing an awful lot when we say we believe He can do amazing, extraordinary, out of the ordinary, out of the natural things, but we only speak to Him as if He's capable of dealing with the small. So pray for the ordinary. But pray for the extraordinary too. Trust that He can do ordinary and extraordinary things in, with, and through you, because all things are possible with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for the ways that we reduce Your size and Your power. Help us to pray with faith. Our faith believes that you are there and that you do the extraordinary. So help us to pray, knowing that you are capable of such. Help us to see you at work in the ordinary things in our lives, that our gardens, our jobs, our homes, our families, our friends, aren't simply there because we made them that way. They are there because it was your will for them to be there. Because you provide for us through the ordinary things in daily life. So, Father, help us to see you in everything, in the ordinary and in the unbelievable, and to pray as if you are in both too. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.